In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing that song to give you the opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all things have been made ready that you might do that. Well, to be grateful that we have the privilege of coming together to be revived again, as we just sang, based upon that psalm, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And certainly, revival comes through the Lord's Word. I encourage you to get the Lord's Word in hand, the Bible, the Word of God, and search the Scriptures with us. Take whatever notes you might like to take that you might have the benefit of our time together. Back in the 1980s and 90s, when I was a child, I can remember that there was a nationwide advertising campaign. The slogan was, "Just Say No." That was created and championed by First Lady Nancy Reagan during her husband's presidency. And it was a campaign that was directed toward young people to try to discourage children from the use of drugs. And I remember that in our school systems as a young person. Just say no. Many of you may remember that as well. As I think about that, I am reminded of the fact that just say no is a biblical principle. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 10, why Solomon said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." There's a song that says, "Don't consent to the evil. Don't consent to the evil. Just say no." What I'd like for us to do in this brief and simple study is call attention to some areas in which you and I need to just say no. First of all, just say no with reference to drugs. There's a widespread problem in our society today with illegal or illicit drug use. There are those who are misusing and abusing prescription drugs, and then there are those who are using illegal and illicit drugs. There's an opioid crisis that we've been hearing about. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, every day more than 130 people in the United States die after overdosing on opioids. The Bible teaches in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20 that witchcraft is among the works of the flesh. Did you know the word witchcraft comes from the word pharmakia? And you might see in the word pharmakia the idea of pharmacy, where you get your prescription drugs. And the meaning of the word pharmakia is the use or the administering of drugs. And so within the works of the flesh is witchcraft, which has to do with the use or the administering of drugs. And so whenever somebody might present to you the opportunity to misuse or abuse drugs or to involve yourself in the use of illicit drugs, just say no. No, I'm not going to do that. But another area in which we need to learn to just say no is with regard to alcohol use. Alcoholism is a widespread problem in our society. Alcohol is everywhere. It's at the pharmacy, it's at the gas station, it's at the grocery store, it's at the restaurant, it's at the ballpark, it's at the concert. And the way that it is promoted in the commercials, you'd think that you couldn't have a good time without it. And yet they don't show the reality of it. They don't show the folks who are addicted to it, that are alcoholics, who would not have become such if they hadn't taken that first drink. And they don't show those who have become diagnosed with various diseases and maladies as a result of alcohol use, like cirrhosis of the liver. They don't show the pictures of those that have lost loved ones because of a person under the influence, getting behind the wheel of an automobile and heading into a lane and head-on collision that results in loss of life. They don't show all of that. Or those that are on the streets that are begging so they can get a few dollars to go and buy some more booze to satisfy a craving. The Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 1, that wine is a mocker strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol will make a fool out of us. In Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 29, the wise man said, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." So many lessons to be learned from alcohol just in those few verses. And unfortunately, there are those who have to learn those things the hard way. We don't have to learn those things the hard way. These things are written to keep us from the hard way, to point out the fact that the way of transgressors is hard. And yet there are those who would set all of that aside and tarry at the wine. When he says, "Look not thou upon it," that's a prohibition against all forms of it, from social drinking to full-blown drunkenness. Just yesterday, I understand that here in our community, there was wine on the Wabash as one of our parks featured a tasting of the best wines, they say, of the Wabash Valley. No doubt there were those who went and participated in that, thinking nothing of it. You know, the Scriptures in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 3 condemn even social drinking. It's not just the excess of wine, but he mentions banquetings in the King James, which in the New King James Version you have drinking parties. And then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul talks about drunkenness among the works of the flesh. And so the beer to the glass of wine to those things that would cause one to be completely drunk are condemned within the pages of God's inspired revelation. And so when someone would try to entice you to drink wine or to drink beer, to drink alcohol in any way, just say no. It's not worth it. But another area in which we need to learn to just say no is in regard to sexual immorality, to such things as fornication and adultery. Say no, just like Joseph as a young man said no in Genesis chapter 39 and in verse 7, when his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." The Bible says, but he refused. You think he said no when he refused? He said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He recognized that such would have constituted sin, great sin, against God. And so it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. This wasn't a one-time thing, but happened more than once, obviously, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And in verse 12, as she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me," he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And verse 13, the last two words say, he fled forth. We need young people today that have that same kind of moral strength of character to just say no, to flee sexual immorality. The Bible teaches that such is to be abstained from. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, talked about walking and to please God. He said, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit." And so it's to be abstained from. It's something that we are to flee from. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." It's not only a sin against God, it's a sin against one's own body. It is to be avoided. In chapter 7 and verse 2, he said, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. That's one reason God instituted marriage, to keep the race morally pure. And so those desires are to be satisfied only within the realm of a God-approved marriage relationship. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8, Paul basically said, don't commit fornication. When he called attention to Old Testament examples, he said, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. How many people died in one day because of fornication? He said, 3,000. Don't commit it. Let it not be once named among you, Ephesians 5 and verse 3, as becometh saints. And so that shows what should be my attitude toward fornication. Abstain from it. Flee, avoid it, don't commit it. Let it not be once named among us. With reference to adultery, the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Notice the penalty attached to the violation of that in Leviticus 20 and in verse 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The wise man said in Proverbs 6 and verse 32, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it, what about him? Destroyeth his own soul. And then in Galatians 5:19, Paul mentioned both fornication and adultery among the works of the flesh, and said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so when it comes to sexual immorality, just say no. Keep thyself pure, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. And yet there are those who, in a moment of time, will compromise their personal purity, lose their self-respect, and show a lack of respect for other people in the process. Another realm in which I need to learn to just say no is with regard to lasciviousness. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, there's some who have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness is unbridled lust. It's defined as wanton acts or manners, as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. In Mark's gospel account in chapter 7, he talked about those things that come from within the heart of man, and that defile the man. And among those, lasciviousness. He said in Mark 7, beginning in verse 20, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so lasciviousness is an evil thing that comes from within, out of the heart of man, that defiles the man. And my attitude needs to be like that of Daniel of old, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself Daniel 1 and verse 7 and 8. And so when it comes to lasciviousness, any activity that would involve unbridled lust or unchaste handling of males and females or indecent bodily movements, just say no. And then when it comes to filthy communication, much of the communication, the talk of those that are in the world is nothing but filthy communication. When Paul wrote the Colossians, who had become dead with Christ, risen with Christ, he said in Colossians 3:3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is, they were separated from that former life of sin. And thus they were to put to death earthly members, such things as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, which also ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. He said, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Maybe you hear some of that at work. Maybe there are those who, when in a certain environment, they are professional in their speech, and yet then maybe in a break room or in a lounge setting when they're away from others, then just all kind of filthy communication, just filthy stories and filthy jokes. And you and I need to have the courage to just say no, that we're not going to listen to that, we're not going to be a party to that, we're not going to participate in that, and we're not going to allow any kind of filthy communication to proceed out of our mouth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Another area in which we need to learn to just say no is in regard to lying. So many people lie and think very little, if anything, of it. And people lie for different reasons. They lie to get an advantage, or they lie to get themselves out of trouble, but learn sometimes that lying compounds the situation. It makes it worse. It's better to tell the truth than to try to lie to cover up something. There are those who have lied so much that they become habitual liars, and they don't know when they're lying and when they're telling the truth. In the book of John chapter 8 and verse 44, realize that if you are a liar, that the devil is your father. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And of course, that reaches back to Genesis chapter 3 when he said, ye shall not surely die, when God said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And there are those who will tell a lie, and they have to have a good memory, because then they have to tell another lie to cover that one up, and that just snowballs. And so just learn to be honest and tell the truth, because there's a breach of trust whenever you tell a lie, whenever you're dishonest. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3? When Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And that was no small thing, was it? Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. It cost him his life for not being truthful and honest. And about 3 hours after, his wife came in, and Peter said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. An opportunity for her to tell the truth. But she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Just like that, in a moment of time, when they lied, they died. That shows how God feels about lying. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, John said, The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so when you're tempted to lie, just say no. Learn to say no to sin. That's what this brief lesson is really designed to encourage us to do, to remind us to do. It's not limited to these six areas of drugs or alcohol use or sexual immorality, lasciviousness, filthy communication, or lying. But with regard to all sin, whatever it may be, to just say no. As Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 points out, the wages of sin is death. Follow the example of Jesus, who in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when we read of the temptation of Jesus, just said no. You remember in Matthew 4 when Jesus said in verse 4, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And again in verse 7, it is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then in verse 10, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Not just once or twice, but on three occasions here at the temptation of Jesus, we find where Jesus just said no. Sometimes we say yes to things that we should say no to. And we say no to those things that we ought to be saying yes to. We get that backwards. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Let's learn to say no to sin and say yes to the Lord. He stands at the door and knocks, and there are those who will say no to him. They won't welcome him in. They'll turn him aside. And they'll say yes to the world. They'll say yes to the devil. They'll say yes to sin. They'll say yes to the things that we've talked about. And so how about you? How about me? Will we say no to those things that are contrary to God, to His Word, and to His will? God who made us, who knows best for us, who steers us away from those kind of things, will we say no to those? And will we say yes to the Lord? You have an opportunity today to say no to sin and yes to the Lord by becoming a Christian, a child of God. By hearing His Word, believing it with all of your heart, to decide to repent of your sins, to make a change in your life, to give up the things of the world for righteousness, to be right, to do right, and to live right in God's sight. To confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. The sins that you've committed in the past, maybe some of the things that we've talked about, can be forgiven and forgotten by the Lord. Remember in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, with reference to those in Corinth, Paul talked about some of the things that we've mentioned today. And he said, Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. You don't have to be who you were in the past. You can begin life today as a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All things become new. Old things are passed away. But maybe you become a Christian. You've been saying yes to some things that you ought not be and saying no to others that you need to be. Saying yes to. God gives you a second law of pardon. The opportunity to confess your sin and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9, And we need to have the humility and the courage like we see in the prodigal who came to himself and came to his father and said, Father, I have sinned. And he is restored to his place. And John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so now is your opportunity to say no to sin and yes to the Lord. Won't you come now while we stand and sing the song?